Good morning. We ended off last week discussing a case where a person borrowed an item. So, b'derech klal, a person who borrows something, a shoyel, is responsible no matter what happens. Pshiyo, gneva, veda, oinis. He borrowed it, he's not paying for it, it's kalanos shaloi, he has all the benefits, he's responsible no matter what. There is, however, a discussion, there's a tshuva from the Ran that says if a person borrows a sefer to learn from, the halacha is different. And someone who borrows a sefer is going to be pater. Now there are three reasons that are given for this halacha. One reason is that, as we pointed out last week, a shoyel is someone who borrows an item to use. You borrow a car to drive it. You borrow a hammer to bang nails with it. You're using it. However, in a case where you borrow something laharos, you don't have the right to use it, it's just there to show off for people to think that you're wealthy, that is not a normal hishtamshus, and there the Gemara is unsure whether you have a din of a shoyel. In addition, even if you're borrowing to use it, but if the use is worth less than a pruta, there the Gemara is also unsure, perhaps you do not become a shoyel unless the benefit that you're deriving from the item has a value of at least a pruta. Because you're borrowing the sefer to learn, mitzvah is lav lahanis nitnu. Therefore, some place can say that you will not have a din of a shoyel, and if anything happens to the item, if it's nenas, you will not be responsible to pay. And that being said, we said over from Yar Sameach that this p'tur, this idea that if you borrow a car but you're not allowed to use it, it's on display, it's sitting in your driveway to show off. You have your Lamborghini. See what you could. So in that case, the halacha is you're potter because you're not deriving the normal use from this item. However, let's say you borrow a painting, because the whole point of a painting is to display it. So then this halacha will not apply. It's to become a shoyel, you have to have the benefit of the owner. It has to be kol hanos shaloi. To take borrowing a car that you can't drive is not called kol hanos shaloi because you're not getting the normal use. My shaking, if the whole idea, the whole tachlis of this item is just for show, that is the normal use, and you'd have the responsibilities of a shayel. Imkain, who I did over here, if you're borrowing a sefer, the idea or the tachlis of a sefer is to learn from. So even if one would argue that learning is not called a hana, and it's similar to shayel laharos, because the owner of the sefer also, his whole use is to learn from, the whole use is something which is similar to laharos. It is loigora than the case of a painting, and therefore, according to the Aruch Sameach, you'd be chayiv.
Is there such a thing as a multi-use purpose? A Lexus maybe had a multi-use purpose. To drive, you don't need a Lexus. But if you want to show prestige, you're going to drive a Lexus.
So correct.
It has a double use.
Correct. So if something has a double use, if you only borrow it for one particular use, that would not be called an oshalom. Every case of laharos, whatever you're borrowing, very few things are only laharos. Painting might be one example. But the normal case is you're borrowing either a sack of money or you're borrowing an expensive item. It has a function, it has a use. You are not getting the ability to use it, you just have it laharos, that's why you're potter. You're not considered a shoyel because you don't have the normal benefit from it. But it's only something which is exclusively laharos, which is, for example, a painting, or for this case, a sefer. If you hold that learning is similar to laharos, in these cases, you will not have the p'tur. But what hano? Every time you're a shoyel, you're borrowing a tangible item. The item exists, but the question is, what use or what are you allowed to do with this item? So if all you're allowed to do with the item is display it, something which is not a regular hishtamshus, you do not become a shoyel on the tangible item. So who hadin a sefer? The sefer is real, it's a chepza, it's tangible, but if your use is limited to something which is similar to laharos, then you're going to be potter. Now this was one or two svaros why you should not be responsible. There was another svar on the other end. The other svar to pater is not because the person who borrowed it, there's something lacking in his use or in his benefit. But there's a reason, the other argument why you're not a shoyel, and this is really what the Ran says, is that you're not a shoyel because the person who's lending it, the owner also gets a benefit. If the owner, the person who's lending it out gets a benefit, So then you do not have a din of a shol, you have a din of a soicher. It's as if you are paying rent, and therefore you have a lower level of responsibility. What is the benefit? You're not paying rent for the sefer. So the Ran explains, as a concept of Prutah Rav Yosef, that when you're lending out a sefer, you're doing a mitzvah at the time that you're lending it out. The halacha is, Oisik b'mitzvah patur mida mitzvah. If you're busy doing one mitzvah and another mitzvah arises, you do not have to stop the first mitzvah in order to fulfill the second one. Therefore, since at the time that you're lending it out, an ani might knock on your door and ask for tzedakah, at that point you have the right to say, no, I'm busy, I'm being oisik b'mitzvah, and you do not have to give him. And therefore, you are getting a benefit, and that takes away, you no longer have a din of a shoyl, you're getting paid for this transaction, and therefore you do have a din of a soicher. Okay, good, good. We'll get there. Now, there are a number of chedush.
Why did you say on that, Mrs. Slava Hennessy didn't? Why did you say on that, Mrs. Slava Hennessy didn't say it was when he's learning from say it, but
you're not considering? Well, because like this, Mrs. Slava Hennessy is a question of, when if I'm doing a mitzvah with your item, am I getting a tangible benefit by doing this mitzvah? And on that we say that although a mitzvah, you get tremendous schar is now called a hana. Over here we're saying that while you're doing it, happens to be, if an ani comes, you won't have to give it. So the hana is not from the mitzvah.
Learning has that too.
That's true. But is that that's not a hana from the item. It's not a hana. When normally when a shoyl, he takes a car. He's driving a car. He's getting a benefit from the car. Over here, the driving or the learning, we're saying is a mitzvah, and therefore it's not a benefit. Now it's
the
true.
Why should the hana that divides the kol hana shelo, so to speak, why should it be different for the shoyl or the mashal?
Because you see it from the Gemara. Wait, because you see it from the
Gemara.
That's true. But in the Gemara's question of Laharos, Gemara's point is that by Laharos, why is the person borrowing the Lamborghini? He wants to show off. Now, he's obviously getting a benefit from that. And he's getting a benefit that people would very likely pay money for. But since it's not from the Gufa Chefetz, the Gemara says this is not a normal Sheila, it's not similar to a typical Sheila. And since it's not similar to a normal she'ela, the halachas and the chumras of kol hashalei do not apply. That's the Gemara's she'ela, and that's why you're going to be potter. You'll have a kimli. It's not a typical she'ela. That doesn't mean that the benefit doesn't exist. And therefore, when we're defining whether it's kol hashalei or whether the owner gets a benefit, he is getting a benefit. There's no halacha. The owner's benefit has to be typical. Mechatesa. By a shoyl in the use, the Gemara says it has to be similar to a normal use. Okay. So there are a number of chedushim in this ran. The first point is that a normal case of soicher is you pay rent. The borrower, the person who's using it, is paying for the use of the item. Over here, is the person learning from the sefer paying it? Is he providing this benefit? Absolutely not. It happens to be that by lending it, you're doing a mitzvah. Why you're doing a mitzvah is oitzik mitzvah, patzim mitzvah. Male, you'll end up not having to give a pruta to an ani that comes by. What you see, according to this Ran, is that even though the hana is indirect, it does not come, it's not payment that the borrower is paying for the item. Still, since at the end of the day, the owner, this is not completely lishma, it's not just being given away, he is deriving some benefit from this transaction, there the Ran holds, that's enough to knock him down from a shoyl into a soicher. The Divrei Mishmah brings a raya from here that hu hadin, if I go over to someone and say, here is $5, go lend your computer to my friend. The friend takes it, and something happens. Is the friend a shoyl or a soicher? On one hand, the friend is getting the use, he's not paying anything. He should be a shoyl. On the other hand, the owner that's giving out is not just being a nice guy. He is receiving money. He's getting payment in order to let someone use the item. So Zakta Divrei Mishpat, that again, based on this halacha, since we see from here that to become a soicher, you do not need that the borrower is the one that's paying. All you need is that there is some sort of benefit that the owner receives by lending it out. So who had din over there? You would have the din of a soicher. And Rabino brings a raya from the Rashba. Not like this. He points out the Rashba argues on the Ran as well. But that this is a raya at least to the Divrei Mishpat. Now the second point that the Tzais makes is that how much would you pay When ani comes to first staka, so you give a the Gemara is assuming that you give a pruta, you'll be makayim the mitzvah. How much would you pay for the right that if an ani happens to knock on your door the minute you're lending something out, that you'd be potter? Now you realize if the ani sits around for 30 seconds and he waits for you, you're gonna have to give him afterwards. So what is the value of that benefit? You can work out the statistics of what the chances of actually getting away of saving a prutza. Obviously, it's going to be less than a prutza. So Zaktak Tzayis, we see another chiddush from here, that if a shoyel pays the owner for using the item, even though he pays less than a prutza, and less than a prutza and very often does not have a din of mamon, still that's enough. It is not considered kolan o shaloi. The owner is receiving something, and it will knock the person down from a shoyol to a seicher. He would no longer be responsible for einsin. He would only be responsible for gneiv aved. Okay, now to address your point, so he asked a very basic question: if every time you lend out a sefer, you're doing a mitzvah. Because you're doing a mitzvah, you're potter from pruta Rabbi Yosef. Once you're potter from pruta Rabbi Yosef, you are now getting paid. You therefore not a shoyol. You have a din of a seicher. So if that's true, where in the world do you ever have a concept of a shoyah? Every single time you lend something out, you're doing a chesed. You're doing a chesed. If an ani comes, you shouldn't have to give a prutza to him. And by definition then, according to this Ran, it should be impossible to have a shoyah, because there always will be a time where you're not being oisik mitzvah. Now the truth is, we pointed out last week, you really could be matka the kasha, that oisik mitzvah is only while you're doing the mitzvah. If an ani comes, you don't have to give him staka. So that normally is a case where there's some sort of action involved. You're busy doing one thing, you can't do something else. You don't have to stop what you're doing. If someone comes and says, can I borrow your hammer? You say, go take it, it's in the garage. You're not doing anything. So then the idea of oisik mitzvah would not really apply. The Ran must be talking about a case where he asks for the sefer, so you have to go get it to him. You're going downstairs, you're looking for it, you're bringing it to him. So while you're busy with it, you're being oisik mitzvah, then you're potter min mitzvah. But in a case where there's no time involved, there's no work, there this concept wouldn't apply. However, the Achrayim really say in other teretz, they're mechadish, there's a nesivus and imre yosher, that when you are lending a sefer, he says lending a sefer, there's a mitzvah, you're in kind of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, at least helping it. He says chesed, because you have the right to charge when you give something out, when you lend someone a tool or a car, you have the right to charge them for it. Although you decide not to, you're doing a chesed, they say it is not a mitzvah chiyuvis, and their mechadish, again, this is not a davar pashut at all, their mechadish, the idea of oisik mitzvah would not apply. And the Chavetz Chaim says, it's very nice that you're going to be mechadish, that chesed doesn't apply, the idea of oisik mitzvah does not apply. However, what happens if an ani comes and asks to borrow your drill? Lending something to an ani, he says, is certainly the mitzvah of tztaka. So then why, and so why don't you have the din of oisik mitzvah potter min mitzvah over here? So the Chavetz Chaim, a very nice answer. He says it's true. If an ani comes and asks to borrow your drill, while you're giving it to him, if someone else comes and asks for a pruta, you don't have to give it to him. However, the point over here is not whether it's a mitzvah. The point is whether you can say that the owner is benefiting, he's gaining, because he's pottering himself from tztokah. So the Chavetz Chaim, if you're doing tztokah in one way, and by doing the tztaka in one way, you now don't have to you don't have to do a different tztaka. That's not called a benefit. Mali giving a pruta to the ani, Mali lending him your drill. Both are forms of tztaka. The drill also, the use of the drill also has value. And therefore, giving tztaka to one ani, the fact that you don't have to, at the same time, don't have to give tztaka to a different ani, says, would not make you into a soicher. Mashenkin, in a regular case, when you're not dealing with an ani, there you do not have the concept of oisik mitzvah potter min mitzvah.
You could charge a fee to use your sefer as well.
True. And the nesivus, because of that, basically says no. Wait a second. There, the point over there is not al tchesed, and the point is not. He says the point is al talmud Torah, and he says when your person is learning with a sefer, that's yours chos. Now, I didn't speak out that part because that brings up another host of problems. While he is learning with a sefer, I'm not busy with it. So why is there b'chal and oisik mitzvah potter min mitzvah? But he's focusing on the fact that while he's learning, that's my source, and because of that, I for some reason have oisik mitzvah potter min mitzvah. But Chesed, Chavetz Chaim says, that's not called a mitzvah gemura, and therefore there's no oizik mitzvah patur min a mitzvah. Masha Enkin giving it to an ani, which is not just Chesed. There it's tzedaka, but he says there you don't have it because either way you're doing tzedaka, so there's no net benefit. Now, moving on to we mentioned last week that although a shoyol is responsible for anything that happens, if there are two major exceptions. One is the case of Bala Vimay. If at the time that you borrow the item, the owner is working for you, and that in Mirtz Hashem we'll discuss next week. The other is a case of Meis Machmas Malach. If you borrow someone's hammer, you're busy, you're banging, you're building something, you're banging away, and the hammer breaks. So there, it's Meis Machmas Malach. It died, it broke, because of the Malach that you borrowed it for. And there the halacha is, you're not responsible. Now the Rishayim are all bothered by this halacha. Think about it for a minute. You borrow a cow. If a cow is sitting in your house and it just drops dead, what's the halacha? You have to pay. It's an oinus. And you didn't do anything wrong. It just died on its own. Had you not borrowed it, it also would have died. It's an malach mavis, malach malach halsam. Your house is not any more dangerous than the owner's house. Nevertheless, a shoyol, because it's called an oshaloi, has full responsibility for the item, no matter what happens. Now take that same cow. The cow's not just sitting there on your field. You're busy working with the cow. It's busy, it's plowing for you, it's working for you. And while it's working for you, it drops dead. So do you have to, are you chayav or potter there? You're potter. So Frekta Ramban, how could it be? Why are you more potter when you're using it than if you weren't using it? What's the pshat? What's the svara behind this chiyuv? So the Rishayim answer this question in different ways. We'll deal with it step by step. The Ramban says is, Zok the Ramban, it's true. When an animal sits there and just drops dead, it's an oinus, even though it would have died had you not borrowed it, that is the responsibility of a shoyol. It's kol nashaloi. You're responsible for anything that happens. However, Zok the Ramban, if the animal didn't just drop dead, the pshat is you worked it. You were doing what you were supposed to do. That's what you borrowed it for. And through the work, it died. Zok the Ramban, the owner, when you went to your neighbor and said, can I borrow your hammer? I need to build a sukkah. That means the owner said, take the hammer and build a sukkah with it. Now, if while you're building the sukkah, you bang in a nail and the thing cracks, that means he gave you a defective hammer. He lent you something or authored or told you to use it for something that it was not capable of doing. Zok the Ramban, in that case, the damage, the onus was caused by the pshia of the mashal. The owner was negligent in the sense that he gave you something to use. He gave you an item that was not up to the task. Therefore, we blame him. It's his negligence that caused the damage when it's the owner's negligence that caused the onus or that caused the hezek. There, the borrower is not responsible. Now, some learn the Ramban very literally, that you need literally a pshia. It had to be the case where the owner was negligent, he recklessly gave you a hammer that wasn't capable of banging in the nails. And we had a case once where a bacher borrowed a car from a friend of his to go to, he had a chasen in New York. The car was about 15 years old. It had all sorts of electrical issues. The windows didn't work, the power doors didn't work, the brakes worked most of the time. So anyway, the fellow drove the car. He made it to the chasen, and he parked. And basically, as he parked, the whole car just engulfed in flames. Baruch Hashem, he made it out alive. But the owner said, "You borrowed my car. You have to pay for the damage." Salacha is, and this is a very clear case of Beis Machmas Malacha. The car was not fit to drive. It was clear the owner knew that it had issues. It had electrical problems beforehand. So if anything that happened, you can't blame the shoyl, he's not responsible, it's the owner's fault. Now, there are a number of kashas on this. I mean, the Gemara has a case where you had an infestation, there were a lot of mice in your house. So what do you do when there are a lot of mice around? You borrow a cat. So the fellow borrowed the cat, and the cat went to war against the mice, and in this particular case, the mice ended up ganging up, and they killed the cat. So the Gemara says that's Machmas Malach. Now, it's not Mistavra that the owner of the cat is considered negligent. He should have realized this cat with how tough, the mice in this neighborhood. These are in New York City. They were tough mice, and they were going to go ahead and gang up on the cat. So what other and if Meduyik and other Rishonim, the point is not so much that it's a pshia in Hilchos Pshia. The point is that if you borrow something for a particular use and the item is not capable of doing it, whether or not the owner should have known or shouldn't have known, whether he is a din pshia or not, the bottom line is, since he gave it to you for this particular use, you used it in the correct and normal way. So anything that happens because of that use, that is the owner's responsibility. That is when you lend something out, the chesed that you're doing, you know there's going to be a wear and tear. Someone borrows your car to drive to the city. You know he's going to put on a certain amount of mileage. You know there's a certain amount of wear and tear in the car. And by lending it to him, you're accepting that. Well, normally you only expect wear and tear. But hu adin, if while he's driving, the transmission goes, that is the favor, that's the chesed that you're doing when you lend something out to someone. Okay, let's get back to it in a minute, because the tire is not going to be so simple. But I'll give you, I Taka once borrowed a car. When I was married to Israel, I came back, I borrowed a car from a relative to go to the country. And on the way back, the brakes went. Now, is that my responsibility? No. I borrowed it to drive to the mountains. On the way back, what does that mean? It means that when I borrowed the car, the brakes were in pretty bad condition. They would have gotten, through normal use, This is what happened. So since the owner gave it to me to drive to the country and back, any tip normal wear and tear, or even if something happened because if the transmission went on the way up, that is what I borrowed it for. And in that case, there's no chiyuv. My she'en kein, if you drive it there, you have it parked there, and suddenly lightning strikes, the car is gone. So in that case, it's not wear and tear. An oinus happened. When you borrow something, because you have all the benefits of ownership, you have all the liability, even for Einstein. It's specifically when the owner said, drive it to the country, he's authorizing you to do this. And included in that is there will be a certain amount of wear and tear or a certain amount of damage that could happen. There we say, makes machmas malacha, you're off the hook.
Why is it possible, Garo? Everything breaks. So it happens to be that it broke while you were using it, even though it was the normal way.
Mm-hmm. Well, it depends what happened. If you have an animal and it drops dead of a heart attack while it's working. Now, again, assuming it wasn't distress and you weren't overworking. If it's nanos while you're working it, lightning strikes, you'd have to pay, because that oinus has nothing to do with the malacha. The point is when the owner says you can drive it to the country or you can do this malacha for it, then any consequence of the malacha is what the owner is implicitly accepting. And therefore, the borrower is not liable. So if you're driving it and it just gives way because it got worn out is meis machmas malacha. And the Gemara says, ma'li kala kula, ma'li kala paga. The same way there's always some amount of wear and tear, here there's a lot of wear and tear. But when something has nothing to do with the use, then it's a regular din of inus. You'd be chayiv. Okay, if it happens to be... Wait a second. If it happens to be that it died, why are you doing... Let me just make a point. We're discussing here a case where it died as a result of the work. Now, any case where a person borrows it and it dies, we're going to have a separate issue of figuring out, did it die because of the work? Or was it a coincidence? It died on its own and had a heart attack. It happened to have been working in my field when it had that heart attack. So that there's a sheet, there's a Rambam, there's a Shach. That we'll have to discuss the Tanya Venita and how we know what happened. But what we're discussing here is in a case where it's clear, it's the use that killed it. You drive a car, you're driving normally, and the engine went. The engine, if it would have been parked in your driveway off, nothing would have happened to the engine. It's while you're driving, it's somehow the wear and tear, the use, now it went. Had you not done it, it would have happened by the owner. But that's wear and tear. That's meis nachas malach. If you hand someone a ticking time bomb and it detonates while you have it, I'd agree with you. That's a pshiyo de mashal, the mashal caused that. But we don't look at life as it ran out of life. We look at it, the malcham of this came and said, okay, your time is up, and killed it. We look at it as an oinus and something that happened to the animal, not just that its time was finished and therefore it may have passed on. So this is the first type of meis nachmas malacha, where you have it, you're using it normally, and it's not good enough, it's not up to the task, and therefore something happens. Along comes the Ramah, it's quoted by the Torah, and extends the idea of meis nachmas malacha very drastically. His case is you borrow a car in Eretz Yisrael, and you're driving it through an Arab village. Now, the owner knows good and well, where you're going, and to get to this place, you have to pass through this village. You're driving through the village, and lo and behold, they throw rocks at you, correct? And there's damage to the car. Zok the Ramah, that's meis nachmas malach. Why? You borrowed it to drive through this dangerous neighborhood. The damage came directly as a result of the use. And therefore, Zok the Ramah, this is Meis Machmas Malacha, you're going to be Pater. Zok the Tor, what do you mean? Bishlam, in a case, you borrow a hammer, you're banging away, so why, and it cracks. So it's the Malacha that killed it. Over here, it's not the Malacha that killed it, it's the Arab that threw the rock that killed it. So Zok the Tor argues and says, this is not Meis Machmas Malacha, you're going to be Chayav. What's the Pshad in the Ramah? So the Beis Yosef and the Nesiva speaks it out a little bit more clearly, say that no. The case over here is like this. If you have your car parked in your driveway, nobody throws rocks at it. It doesn't happen. In the case of the Ramah, the thing was gets it had it been in a normal place, there was no risk. When you borrow it to go somewhere or to do something, and that thing has in it a certain risk, even though that risk comes from the outside, it's Arabs throwing rocks, it's bandits, it's someone go ahead and doing something to the... Even so, in that case, the Ramah holds, even though the flaw, it's not a defect in the item, it's not pshat that the item wasn't good, but when I borrow it to do a certain high-risk activity, that the risks inherent in that activity are all included in Meis Nachmas Malacha. So according to the Ramah, comes out, going to actually to your example, if you borrow a car, and you drive it over a nail. So what is this? So according to the Ramah, you don't drive over nails or you don't get flat tires from nails when your car is parked in the driveway. It's because of the use. So according to the Ramah, since driving on the street inherently has this risk of running over a nail, the Ramah would call this meis nachmas malach. Ma'ashenken, according to the Torah and the other Rishonim, since it's not a flaw in the item, it's not like the hammer wasn't right, it's a risk that happens while you're driving, but it's not the malacha itself that created the damage. So in that case, according to the other Rishayim, that would not be meis machmas malacha, and you'd be chayav. Now the halacha, the mechaber paskins like the Ramah. The mechaber has this broader view of meis machmas malacha and says any risk or any damage that only happens during use would be included in meis machmas malacha. The Shach and others and the Ramah argue, and they say no. Meis nachmas malacha is only when the item itself was flawed, was not capable of, wasn't up to the task, and otherwise you'd be chayiv, even though it's something that only happens while you're actually using it.
So don't let your car go spark.
Correct. Correct.
How do you determine? You run into a very gray area. Let's say the guy turns the corner and hits a sewer, and it slashes the tire. It makes a gash in the tire. Where does the Ramah...
Okay, wait, slow down. This is only by oinus. But in a case of a gneva of aveda, so there, the Perek Mata Aaron says, this there's no concept of gneva of aveda machmas malacha. It's only an oinus, it could not have been prevented. In Oinus, which a Shayil is normally responsible for, if it's Machas Malacha, he's going to be off the hook. Gneva Aveda, where even a Stoicher or even a Shemer Sacher is responsible for, even though it came bad as a result of Malacha, you'd be Chayiv. And the Pshad is because he could have prevented it. If it's not an Oinus, it's when something can't be prevented and it's Machmas Malacha, you're going to be Pater. But had you been able to prevent, even though it's difficult, it's not a Pshia, it's Gneva Aveda, the Perach Mat Aaron says, it's Zabar Pasha, you would have to pay.
So
if what? Okay, you would have to look at the case. Is it an oinus or not? Is gneiv aveda? If they come with a gun and they steal it from you, that is list of mezuyim. That does not have a din of gneiv aveda. That's a din of an oinus. And therefore, if it's an oinus machmas v'loch, you're going to be off the hook. The Ramaz case happens to be a case where listim came and stole it. So the Ramah says, because you borrowed it to go through this dangerous neighborhood, and you armed robbers came, he says that is a mace machmas malacha, and he says, Enecham, you'd be potter. Mashenkin, if you're in a neighborhood and it gets stolen without list of mezuyim, in a case where had you been there, you could have prevented it, that's Gneiv Aveda, machmas malacha, even according to the Ramah, and there, according to the Perek Mata'ar, you'd be chayiv, regardless.
Just to be clear, I mean, is the case where you got express permission to drive through a dangerous neighborhood?
Yes. If you borrow we recently had a bacher borrowed a car from his Rebbe, and he was driving and there was some sort of accident which he claimed there was an oinus, and it was machmas malacha. He did, after asking a few questions, concede that he was driving 35 miles over the speed limit. Now his defense was that's meis machmas malacha, because everyone knows you give a bacher a car, he's not going to be driving at the speed limit. No comment. Off the hook. More than that, he borrowed it for that. When you gave it to him, the chesed that you're doing is you're allowing him to use it, even though it will get worn out.
That's right. So if he buys me a new bid, is that ribbis?
No. Ribbis is always when there's a loan, when you take money, when it's lahoitzah. When you take something and you're going to return a different item. When you're supposed to return this item, you're a shoyel, you generally do not have a problem with ribbis, again, except for very extreme cases of Moigur Zuzi, but you generally don't have to worry about it. Okay. Now, so the Ramah brings down, it's a Trumas Hadesha, and had a very interesting case of Meis Machmas Malacha. A person borrowed some weapons. Borrowed a sword. There were some Cossacks coming to town, and he needed to defend himself. He went out to war against the bandits, and unfortunately, he lost the battle. And the thing got taken away. So the owner came to the bar and said, listen, you're a shoyl. You borrowed my sword. It's gone. I want you to pay for it. Zog the Trumas Hadeshen. Nothing doing. Why? It's Meis Machmas Malacha. He borrowed it in order to wage war. He lost the war. Lost the battle. Got taken away. That is Meis Machmas Malacha. And the Shach points out, L'chor, this depends on the machlokes we just said. If you hold like the Ramah, whenever you borrow something to do to use it something that has a certain risk, that's Meis Machmas Malacha. So who I didn't hear? You borrowed it to wage war. Going to battle has an inherent risk. So if you lost the battle, that's Meis Machmas Malacha, and according to the Ramah, you'd be potter. Ma'ashengen, if you go like the tour, if you go like the other Rishonim, that Meis Machmas Malacha means that the item was defective, it wasn't up to the task. Over here, you didn't lose the war because the sword wasn't good. You lost the war because you weren't, or your army, your side wasn't strong enough. So that is not a defect in the item, and therefore, Zak the Shach, according to the other Rishonim, this would not have a din of Meis Machmas Malacha, and you'd be chayiv.
It was seized in the battle, or after they lost, they got the spoils?
No, it was seized, he lost the war, and it got taken away. It was at that time. Zog the Nesivus, there's another reason why you might be off the hook. It says like this. It depends what the case is. Why were you borrowing the sword? Because there were a bunch of bandits coming to town. Zog the Nesivus is a halacha. Let's say you work for Hatzalah. You get a phone call, you hear someone's life is in danger, or in Gemara's case, there's a roidif, someone, a madman, is running around with an axe chasing someone. You swing into action. You go chasing after the roidif in order to kill him, to stop him from killing another person. While you're running, what's the halacha? While you're running, you step on someone's keli, you break it. You're speeding towards the scene of this madman, and while you're going, you smash into another car. So halacha is that if you're a roidif achar roidif, if you're chasing after someone in order to rescue, to save someone's life, the halacha is if you break kalim along the way, if you cause damage, you're patur. Why? Adam mor lailam. Normally you do damage, you're responsible to pay. So the Gemara explains there's a special takana over here. No one would join Hatzalah or Chaverim if they knew that if they're on a call and they get into an accident another way, they're gonna be liable. Therefore, Chazal said that if you're going ahead, you're out to save someone, and you damage along the way, you're off the hook, because otherwise, again, people won't want to go ahead and save people. Zakhni Nesivas, who writes in over here? If you have a bunch of Cossacks coming to town, so everyone in town, their lives are in danger. If someone goes ahead and borrows a weapon in order to defend the town, Zakhni Nesivas, you have the same tour. You'll have the same takana, and therefore, if it gets lost or damaged along the way, you won't have to pay. Now, the Meshavet points out this is a chiddush, and it's in the case of the Gemara, the pshat was you were running, you were chasing after someone to rescue him, and you broke something while you were rescuing him. The Nesivas is extending this chiddush that if you borrow something in order to rescue someone's life, if anything happens to it, you are not liable. And the Michas Pitim has a very interesting objection to this in Sivas. He says like this: what happens if, let's change the case, you're not in Chaveirim trying to go ahead, or in Hatzalah trying to save someone else, rescue someone else. What happens if that madman with the axe is running after you? So you are speeding away. While you're trying to escape, you smash into, you cause damage. Do you have to pay or not? The halacha is yes. If to save your life you damage someone else, you're responsible. And in fact, there's a whole discussion where you're allowed to cause headache to save your life. Again, we hold you could, but you have to pay afterwards. What's the difference? The difference is very simple. When someone else's life is in danger, and we want everyone to swing into action to rescue them, so if they were liable for damage that was caused, they would think twice. No, hey, why should I volunteer for Hatzalah? There are all sorts of liabilities. I'll stick with my day job. In order to encourage people and to help others, so when you're in a situation where there's a risk and you act, and because of that you cause damage, Chazal said that you're patur. Ma'ish Enkin, they're chasing after you. Do we need a takana to encourage you to say, are you going to sit there? Well, listen, there's an madman with an axe coming down at me, but if I speed away and I cause damage, I'm going to have to pay. Yeah, let me just wait here. Your life is in danger. You're going to run. So therefore, there's no need for a takana. Let's go back to our case. You're sitting there in the town, and the Cossacks are coming to town. So what is Nesivas' point? That if you borrow the weapon to go ahead and defend the town, you're off the hook because of this takan. You're also in the village. If you don't defend, if you don't have the weapon, what's going to happen? Your life is in danger also. Zogdim Minchas Pitim, if your life is also in danger, if there are two people's lives in there, yours and someone else's, there's no reason for a takana. So the Nesivas holds, since there's someone else involved and his life is in danger, so loy plug. If you're rescuing someone else, even though you're also saving yourself, you're patur. Minchas Pitim argues and says, no, there's no reason for a takana. Once your life is also at risk, even though there are other people as well, if you do anything, if you cause damage, there's a reason for a takana, and you're going to be patur. And it was actually a fascinating shiloh that came up a few years ago. Somebody was driving a car down a one-way street, and suddenly there was a drunk driver hurtling towards them in the opposite direction. So what did he do? He panicked, he just yanked the steering wheel to the side and just plowed into the car that was sitting on the side of the road. And Baruch Hashem, there was just enough room, the drunk driver went right by. Okay, Baruch Hashem, his life was saved. But he had just totally destroyed this car that was parked on the side of the road. So the owner said, I want you to pay. So the halacha would come out that it really depends. If you're alone in the car, then halacha is your chayiv. You're a mazik. You were a mazik in order to save your life. You had the right to do it. But you're a matzal atzmei mamon chaveroi. You pay for the car, and Baruch Hashem, you're alive. You can bench gaim. However, in this case, the person tainer, my wife was in the car with me. Which means that at the time, there were two people's lives that were in danger. Oh, what? And the drunk, right. And the drunkard, right. So therefore, it should depend, according to the Minchas Pitim, it like this. According to the Nesivos, once someone else's life is in danger, even though yours is also in danger, if you're mazik, you're pater. Minchas Pitim argues. Minchas Pitim says no. Since you're saving yourself, we don't need a takana, you're going to be chayiv. So that case would lechayiv depend on this machloikis, Minchas Pitim and the Nesivos.
In the case with the Kazas, I mean, this guy, maybe he doesn't have a family, he can just run away. So he chose
it. Okay, it could be. If his life is not in danger, and a chanami.
Also, in the case of what you say, Mesilat was love, I mean, this thing was not destroyed. This knife, the sword is still around. Now,
no, it's gone. It's gone. It was stolen.
But
it's
back now.
What? If you recover it, then you give it back. The case, if you recover it, you give it back. The case is...
It,
no, mace doesn't have to be mace. Mace, it broke it. When it breaks, we say mali kala kula, mali kala paga. If it gets stolen in a way where it's not recovered, that would have the same halacha. Now, normally when it gets stolen, it's gnei v'aved, it's not oinus. So, as we mentioned before, when perach ma'at'arin, there's no mace ma'at'as v'locha when it's gnei v'aved. But when there are a bunch of armed robbers, listed in mizuyim, that is a case of theft that has a din of oinus. What? Love Africa. Love Africa. Okay, let me just finish up with one. There's a fascinating tshuva from the Igros Moshe in Chayish Mishpah Chelik Beisim and Samach Gimel. The tshuva was to the Bubba of a rebel. Now we don't really have the story or what the shaila was, but apparently that during the Holocaust he had borrowed money to send to Europe to save people. After the war he was brought to a din Torah there Tevea, pay us back. So, again, we don't have the shiloh, so we don't know what his arguments were, but apparently he said that he's not responsible to pay because he borrowed the money to save other people's lives. Igros Moshe's response was nothing doing. He says, it's true there's a halacha, that if it's a roidif, someone's chasing after someone to kill him, and you go ahead and you save him, and you're mazik along the way, you don't have to pay. That's if you're trying to rescue the person, and you're mazik someone along the way, there's no chiyuv. However, Zuck the Igros Moshe, in a case where you borrow something beforehand and you borrowed it in order to help rescue someone, Zuck the Igros Moshe, this takana does not apply. It's specifically for, again, where you're a roidif, you're chasing your mazik. But a case where you borrowed beforehand, it does not apply. And therefore, the Igros Moshe says, as a devar pashut, that he'd be responsible to repay all of the debts.
So, did the case any medical bills?
All right. So, l'chayra. This Igros Moshe sounds like not like this Nesivos. The Nesivos' case is you borrow the sword in order to rescue someone. And the Nesivos says, since you're rescuing someone, this halacha of roidif applies. So you have to say like this. There's a basic difference between the cases. When you borrow the sword, the halacha is when you borrow a sword, you pay back the sword. The din of a shoyal is, if it's nenas, if it gets damaged, you're liable for that damage. Now, there's a whole shiloh of whether the chiv starts when you borrow it, the chiv starts when the oinus happens, but ultimately what's happening is that you're responsible because it got damaged, it got destroyed while you had responsibility for it. In that case, the Nesivos is saying, if it got destroyed while you were saving someone's life, so the same way if you're mazik something to save someone's life, the halacha is that there's takana that you're pater. So if it got destroyed, if the oinus happened through saving someone's life, so it's legara then oinus, you're potter on this hezek, on the fact that it got destroyed. Mashenke, in the case of Igros Moshe, Igros Moshe's case is the person borrowed money. When you borrow money, the moment you borrow the money, you have to pay it back. What you're going to do with it, how you're going to spend it, where you're going to save someone's life, is irrelevant. There's nothing to do with your chiyuv. You're not your chiyuv to pay back is not because it got spent or it got destroyed saving a person. Your chiyuv to pay back is because you borrowed it. In that case, Igros Moshe is saying, if you borrow it, regardless of how good your intentions are, regardless of the fact that you're doing it in order to save people, you borrowed it, you have to pay it back. It's only in the Nesivos' case where you borrow the item in order to use it. Your expectation, your chiyuv was to return the item to end. At later on, while trying to save someone's life, it got damaged. In that case, he says, because the hezek happened while saving someone's life, then Nesivos says, this takana would apply.
Is there such thing as Nesivos' law on money? Like during the war, people knew that everyone was
were scrambling to every dollar to try to redeem people. They didn't know if the guy would ever would make it through the war.
So the pastures there shouldn't be. There rather is a case where you give someone money to invest or to manage. He lends it out, and then the debts go sour. There is discussion whether that is meis machmas malacha. Now that might go into the Ramah and the other discussion, but the point over there is you used it the normal way, and suddenly it disappeared. Okay, we're out of time. We'll have to, Mirtz Hashem, next week, we'll Mirtz Hashem finish off these halachas and go through the sugya of Bala Vimay.